StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the founder of Startup.Radio, the world's number one tech entrepreneurship radio. Today, I bring you another interview in association with the German Startup Association, Bundesverband Deutscher Startups in German, with the winner of the German Startup Awards. This time, I would like to welcome the winner of the Impact Entrepreneur of the Year 2023, Gülsa. Hey, welcome.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Totally my pleasure. As we said in the beginning, you are the winner of the Impact Entrepreneur of the Year. But as always, we go a little bit through your CV, what you've done in the past. And actually, there is a lot of very interesting pieces there. First thing that came to mind was Montreal. You've been to Montreal. First, did you pack enough warm socks? And secondly, can you tell us something about the bagels there?
So I have to say I packed a lot because I knew that I was about to see three different seasons, summer, then the Indian summer, and definitely winter. So it ranged from 30 degrees super hot to minus 30 degrees super cold. And still, I was not enough prepared for Montreal. I had to buy still some thermal clothes because it was really cold.
What a terrible thing. You had to go shopping.
Nice. Yeah, probably not so bad for me. True.
You've been studying close to Frankfurt here at EBS. Mm-hmm. I do know from other interviews I've heard from you in preparation of this interview that there is a specific story behind it, how you got in there to this private university. For everybody who's listening, because only around 2/3 of our audience is from Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, and we are heard in places, for example, like recently Mongolia, Malaysia, and so on and so forth. So therefore, I want to explain, usually higher education in Germany is free of charge, but in private universities like EBS, you have to pay tuitions. But can you tell us a little bit how you got in there?
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't even know about the existence of private business schools or EBS business school. And for me, it was during my high school years that I was sent from my school to, it was called Akademie für begabte Jugendliche. So it was like an academy for highly talented young people who are quite smart. And back then I went there and met a girl called Iman. She is German-Moroccan. And she also had very good grades and told me about that private university where you can learn different languages, travel a lot, and simply a great school. And that she heard of a very wealthy friend of hers about this school. And that's where I first heard about that school. Before that, I simply planned to study law in Bonn, which is very close to Cologne, where I used to live. So I thought I don't need to move out. And then, yeah, this sparked my interest. I eventually went with my dad back then to the Tag der offenen Tür, so the information day. And I remember in the end, there was one last info session that was called financing. And you have to know that all of Germany's richest kids are on that school, right? So when it was the last agenda point around financing, it was only my dad and me left, basically. And the guy from the local bank, Nassauische Sparkasse, who then explained how you could still go to that university if you don't have the financial means. And I decided back then to take on a credit to go to that university, and got a luck that just before the university started, I got a letter from Vodafone scholarship program, and they said that they saw me in the admissions and that they would love to sponsor and pay my entire studies, because just on that very same year they launched a program for highly talented students with migration background who want to study at a private university. That was how I got into a private business school, being probably the first or one of the very few people with a Turkish background, who probably are not from the very, very wealthy bubble.
That is always a story. That's also where the name Two Hearts come from, right?
Yeah.
With your background, you said in one interview that made me really smile. At your birthdays, you have German cheesecake, Käsekuchen, and Baklava.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's Two Hearts is about, I mean, as the name says and suggests, about having two hearts, living between two cultures, having two identities, and simply identifying yourself, in my case, both with the German culture, because I was born here, but at the same time also with the Turkish culture, as my parents and grandparents come from Turkey originally. And I do think that many, many expats, be it those that are already second, third generation, but also those that just arrive in a new country, will know exactly what I mean. On the one hand, they have their probably work life and everything that is happening outside, which is very specific to the country they are living in. And on the other side, they have their private life, their cultural background, everything that is their two hearts. And that's why we actually launched Two Hearts, to be the place and home for people all over the world who have two or more hearts and know exactly what this means.
I do believe that rings a bell with a lot of our audience. Mm-hmm. But before we get a little bit more into that, you had quite a lot of different stops, what you've been doing in the past. I can just drop some names where you've been working. L'Oreal, Roland Berger Strategy Consulting, Kühne & Nagel, that's a logistics company, where you've been an intern in Montreal. Yes, I can see you've been there in January and February. That had to be tough if you're not used to it. You've been with IBM. You've been with McKinsey. You had different other positions, including what I found interesting, member board of directors for StepStone. Mm-hmm. And you've been for quite some time in different positions with Axel Springer. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I do believe that was very formative for you.
Yeah, I mean, as you can see from my background, I always have been quite driven and quite interested in different areas. So when I started out my career, I thought that consulting would be a good thing to do. To be honest, like that was 15 years ago, that was the time when basically everyone after studying business either went to a bank or to consulting. So I decided to go to consulting because I love to talk to people. I'm a quite extrovert. And I thought, okay, just sitting behind a computer the entire day with numbers only, as it is in banking, is probably a waste of time for me, even though consulting obviously is also very analytical, but you get to see the clients and travel. And then, as you said, I, after some time, decided to leave McKinsey and then work for a German media company, which is now one of the world's global, biggest and most global media companies, which is Axel Springer. And I have to say the 6 years that I spent there have been very, very great for me in terms of personal people that I met personally, but also obviously professionally. And I got to do what I love most, which is working with entrepreneurs, working with different stakeholders, and traveling. So in 2016, I was responsible for the Silicon Valley office of Axel Springer, spent some time there, both looking after the portfolio companies and looking for investment opportunities. And then the last 3 years before leaving Axel Springer, I basically led the investment strategy and activities. And as part of that, I was board member of StepStone, which many of you know as a recruitment company, which by now makes, I guess, more than 1 billion of revenues. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for everybody where Axel Springer doesn't ring a bell, it's a company that owns, for example, Business Insider, Politico, all outlets here famous in Germany called Bild, Auto Bild, and so on and so forth. The World Group, which includes Gründerszene, we share a lot of content. N24, the news media. It's like a German version of CNN, I would say.
Yeah.
Insider Inc., Insider Intelligence, and so on and so forth. So there is a lot of very well-known brands behind this not so much known name. You said you've been working there for quite some time, have been in the Silicon Valley office. I do assume that was quite a contrast to Montreal.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, first of all, I was in Montreal. I was much younger. I was an intern, more student years. It was more about traveling and yeah, earning some money, which I did at Kuhn & Nagel, great people. And obviously with Axel Springer, it was a bit different because I was responsible. I was in a more professional manner. I was responsible for the investment activities there, for the ecosystem, to represent Axel Springer, as you said, also with having more and more acquired American brands like Business Insider. And there was quite a difference. And obviously also culturally, right? When I first knew that I would go to the West Coast, as Germans, you sometimes think of LA and the fancy things. And I was like, oh, wow, I will live now on the West Coast. But then when I went there, basically our office and house was in Mountain View, which is Google's headquarters, which is Silicon Valley and super, let's say, I mean, let's put it that way. The people, they wake up very early. There are a lot of nerds and techies. They then go to work, come back. Dinner is around 6 or 7. And at 9 p.m., everybody basically goes to bed. That's life there. If you go to San Francisco, which is still almost 1 hour of drive, it's a bit different. But I mean, that's Silicon Valley. And I did not expect that. But eventually I got used to it and I liked the crowd. That's why I'm also still working in technology, because I think there are great, very smart people who are very driven and very international. And probably that's the first time that I really got to see how international and great people working in tech are.
You know what? I just in my mind created a new name, a new term, because I now have 2 kids and I can say I live on a Silicon Valley schedule. I get up very early and I go to bed very early.
Same here. I also have 2 sons, so I couldn't agree more. And now we have a dog, so I'm very much into this super structured, waking up early, going to bed, hopefully not too late schedule.
And hopefully no interruptions. I know that one.
Yeah.
At one point, you decided to leave Springer and did other stuff, including being the COO of a Berlin-based health tech startup called Ada Health, member of the board of advisors for FinMarie. Actually, I interviewed a few years ago one of the founders of FinMarie.
Cool.
Amazing. And then in June 2020, we'll get to the core of your award. You founded Two Hearts. Can you tell us a little bit about the background story, how this originally started, what it will be, and how people can benefit from it?
Sure. I mean, I have to say one thing that everybody needs to know about me is I have a cultural diverse background that you can see. So I look quite Turkish. I don't look like the average German woman. Let's put it that way. I have a very Turkish name, Gülşah. I mean, it means queen of roses. It's a beautiful name in Gülşah in Turkish. I don't know which pill my parents took when they gave me this name as a baby born in Germany, because it's super hard to pronounce in Germany. So I always, right from the beginning of my childhood, also being raised up in a quite underprivileged background, had this challenge of, on the one hand, loving my Turkish community, loving my parents, speaking fluent Turkish, but on the other hand, also being very driven, wanting to be accepted in German culture, being the first one going to university and breaking a lot of walls and having a lot of firsts. And in the beginning, I did not want to be associated at all with my, especially Turkish background, also not with this Muslim environment. I always wanted to be known as Gülşah, the hardworking Gülşah. But over time, as I proceeded in my career, I noticed that you can work as hard as you want, but there is always some kind of code or glass ceiling that is very hard to go through if you do not have super rich parents, if you have not been to tennis clubs your entire life, if you have not been skiing your entire life, if you have a different name, if you do not know the CEOs, families, etc. So this is something that I noticed over time, and it's not specific to a certain company. And I said, okay, if I don't get a seat at the table, and I got a seat at the table, I have to say, I went to McKinsey, Axel Springer, but many do not. How about I build my own table? How about I create an influential network, like many know the PayPal mafia that people call? How about I create this influential network and help many more Gülşahs, Minsungs, whatever, people that did not have as much luck as me, or probably did not have the chances. And that's how we came about with Two Hearts. Me and my co-founders, we are four. It's Min Sung, who has a German-Korean background. We have Iskander and Oktay. They have German-Turkish background, and myself. And we said we want to be the persons that we needed when we were younger. And we want to not only have a professional, super influential tech network, but we also want the people to feel at home, to feel at ease, to be very open about their challenges, and to have people that understand them, that speak their language, that just give them the impression, hey, I understand you. I went through the same challenges and I can help you. By now, we are Europe's largest platform and community for people with migration background in the tech industry. You can join us. We are Typeform. We have it on our twoheartscommunity.com website. And we have three criteria, two of them very direct. One of them is you have to have some migration background, at least if you want to become a member. For mentors, we also accept those that do not have a migration background, but we need those allies supporting us in our mission. The second is that you have a strong interest or already are working in technology. This can be as a founder, this can be in a corporate where you work on digitization strategy, etc. And the third, and this is something that is not a hard criteria, but as we want to support as many young people as possible who do not have the networks, we like to see young people who have some kind of underprivileged background, probably who came as refugees, probably who are the first ones to go to university, because we do know that some things are more challenging than if your parents do not have the first check they can pay you when you found your startup, if your parents do not have the biggest network or whatsoever. So this is it in a nutshell. And I'm super proud that we are being acknowledged for what we are doing with True Hearts.
I can totally see that this is very important. And there is a lot of people listening out there and watching. The question is, how can people engage? You said people with migration background who came in as refugees, having a tough time growing up somewhere in Europe. I assume it's open to everybody who lives in Europe.
Yes. So we even don't limit it to Europe only. I mean, naturally, we launched Two Hearts out of Germany. We now have members all over Europe. We also have some members in the US, for example. So you can apply from wherever you are. And we are a very bottom-up driven community, right? So it's not about us telling our members where to do, for example, individual chapters where we meet on a monthly basis. It's more about our members organizing it themselves. We also already had a meetup in New York, because there have been some members who associate with our mission with Two Hearts to build tomorrow's tech society with cultural diversity, and who wanted to come together and share thoughts and support each other.
I see. And what kind of mentors you are looking for, like the kind of people who help your members? What are you looking for in those people?
So we want to, first of all, the first most important thing for being a mentor at Two Hearts is the willingness to support and empower young talent with migration background in the tech industry. It's not about having two hearts yourselves. Obviously, sometimes if you are a mentor with two hearts yourself, you better understand the challenges that these young people go through. But in my life, for example, all my mentors have been white old male, always. And I'm so grateful for them. They helped me so much. So what I do think is we also need allies. That's why we accept both culturally diverse, but also those mentors with one heart. And the second is that we need to see that you have certain expertise in the tech industry. And as we define it quite broad, it's not that you have to be an engineer or programmer yourself. It's more about navigating in the tech industry in different fields, because we don't want to narrow it down, as we want to help as many young people as possible.
Mm-hmm. I see. And we've been talking before. There are now two more points I'll be asking you. Point number one, where do you see Two Hearts in, let's say, 5 years? And how can people join you? I know you're also hiring full-time to get even more involved?
Yeah, so first of all, for us, the mission is very clear. We want to be the home for culturally diverse talent in technology globally. So everybody who associates with our mission to build tomorrow's tech society with cultural diversity, especially those senior people who want to give big back, should be part of Two Hearts. This is our biggest mission. Obviously, to achieve that, we need a lot of things. We need great, very motivated, very engaging members, because Two Hearts is what we all make of it. Secondly, we need more data and transparency. We do notice that, especially when it comes to migration background and as a diversity factor, especially in the tech industry, we do not have much data. So we are working with some organizations like the Deutsche Startup Verband on the Migrant Founders Monitor to bring in more transparency, because if you cannot measure it, it's hard to derive solutions. And last but not least, we want to also move something in the German politics and also European Union to make sure that the immigration conditions for culturally diverse talent from abroad is ideal, that English is a given and it's not as hard, especially to come to Germany as a culturally diverse talent, as we know that until 2030, Germany is missing more than 7 million people working in our economy. So it's a must and it's not an option. And how can you become a member? So you should go on our website, Two Hearts Community, two as a number, twoheartscommunity.com. And there we have a link to join now, which will direct you to our type form. And basically you then answer the questions and you will hear back from us. As with any every startup, we are still growing very fastly. So it might take some time. If you don't hear after 48 hours, don't be surprised, because we take our selection process very, very seriously. And we look individually through each and every application.
I see. Everybody who'd like to learn more, go to our Medium blog, medium.com/startuprate-or-io. There you find the interview of today with all the show notes or the link. Of course, Gülsa, we will link your LinkedIn profile there. And everybody who'd like to join will also have the URL, of course, of your Two Hearts community there.
Sounds great.
Great. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure having you, and congratulations again.
Thanks a lot. It was great talking to you, Joe.
My pleasure. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.